Shkal and Perek Ches Mishnah Ches. Evarei HaTamid, the limbs of the carbon tamid. So after the Shechita, they used to chop the carbon tamid into pieces, and the limbs were going to be temporarily put down before they were going to be brought up onto the Mizbeach itself. So Nitanin Mechatzi Kevesh Ulamato Bamayrav. They used to temporarily put the limbs of the carbon down on the lower half of the ramp that was on the southern side of the Mizbeach, that went up to the Mizbeach, and they would use the western side of the ramp to temporarily store those limbs. V'shel musafin nitana mechatzi kevesh ulamata v'mizrach. On the other hand, the carbon musaf, which also needed to be brought up to the Mizbeach, what they would do is they would take the limbs of the carbon musaf and they would put them on the lower half of the ramp on the eastern side. So they would be on one side of the ramp, and the carbon tamid limbs would be on the other side of the ramp, and it was very important not to mix them up, because the carbon tamid had to be the first thing that was brought to the Mizbeach in the day, and if the musaf was shechted before they actually brought the limbs of the carbon tamid up to burn, you had to make sure the tamid came first. Now, the limbs of the additional carbonos of Rosh Chodesh, they didn't want to mix up with the carbon tamid or with any kind of other musaf. And so from Rosh Chodesh musaf, they would put them on a higher, kind of more prominent part of the ramp than the other offerings, so that people who looked on would see and realize it was Rosh Chodesh, and the limbs on the upper half of the ramp would kind of clue them in. So not everybody saw the moon in time, and so they might not realize that it was the day Rosh Chodesh that day. And by seeing the limbs on the ramp in kind of a higher spot, they would realize when it was. Now this Tachas Karkov HaMizbeach, under the Karkov HaMizbeach, there was in the second Beis HaMikdash a kind of indentation of the base of the Mizbeach. And so they called that the Karkov. And so in ordinary Mishnayos, sometimes they call it the Sovev. But that's where they would put these limbs. Now back to Shkalim. HaShkalim HaBikurim, the mitzvahs of bringing Shkalim and Bikurim, the first fruits, Ein Noagin Elo Bifnei Habayis. They only applied when there was a Beis HaMikdash to be able to bring them, because the Chatzi Shekel was used to buy Korbanos that were going to be brought on the Mizbeach, and the Bikurim had to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Aval Meiser Dagon, but taking Meiser from grains, Umaiser Behema, or the 10th animal that has to be taken out as Meiser Bahabachoros, and the laws regarding the firstborn of cattle, sheep, and goats, Noagin Bein Bifnei Habayis, Bein Shalom Bifnei Habayis. Those apply whether the Beis HaMikdash is around or not. Even though the animal, for example, would be consecrated to be used for a carbon that you can't bring anymore, but nevertheless, you could still make the animal hekdesh, even though you wouldn't actually be bringing it. Later on, the Chachamim decreed that the Meiser Behema would not be separated anymore, because then we would have lots and lots of Meiser Behema animals just roaming around, and it could be end up happening that people would then bring a sacrifice, or people would do Me'ilah, they would use the Behemas which are hekdesh, so they basically just did away with Meiser Behema for the moment, till Bezer Shem, the Beis HaMikdash, comes back. Hamakdish shkolim u'bikurim. If somebody makes hektesh out of shkolim and bikurim, hareze kodesh, then they are kodesh. Even though the mitzvah of shkolim doesn't apply after there's a biz mikdash, if you say this shekel should be a shekel that is hektesh, then it applies. And all the laws of hektesh and mi'ilah apply to that shekel. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Omer bikurim kodesh einon kodesh. But Rabbi Shimon says if somebody pronounces his bikurim, his first fruits, to be hektesh, then they are not. Because the Torah very specifically connects bikurim to being brought to the Beis Hashem Elokeichem, to be brought specifically in the Beis HaMikdash, and if there's no Beis HaMikdash, then you can't make them Hekdash. And that is the end of Masechta Shkolim, and now on to Masechta Yuma. Yuma, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Shivas Yomim Kodim Yom HaKippurim, 7 days before Yom Kippur, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol, they would separate, they would segregate, sequester the Kohen Gadol. He is the only one who is qualified to perform the actual Avodah on Yom Kippur. So he himself was going to be secluded, was going to be put aside. He had a residence on the Har HaBayis. He was allowed to go out for short periods of time, but nevertheless, he was being separated out mi beso, not only from his house, but also mibeso from his wife, because the idea would be that maybe he would be with his wife and she would be anida, and then he would be tameh for 7 days and he would not be allowed to do the avoda in the Kodesh Kodeshim on Yom Kippur. So he was going to be separated out. So Afrishin Kohen Gadol mibeso lelishkas palhedrin, and they would bring him to the official's chamber. The palhedrin was a chamber which was the office of the Kohen Gadol, and they called it the lishkas palhedrin, which was kind of a corruption of the original name for it, which was the lishkas of bulvatin, the prince's chamber. The Kohen Gadol were considered almost prince-like, so they called it palhedrin. It was an official appointment. This chamber was on the north side of the Azara, and they would bring him to the office. He would even eat and sleep there basically over 7 days, although one is not usually allowed to sit in the actual Azara. Some say that there was a special kind of positioning of this chamber to allow him to sit. Umaskinin lo kohen achar tachtov, and they would prepare a substitute kohen instead of him, just in case if something would happen to the regular kohen gadol, he'd become tameh. He wouldn't be able to do the avoda, so they would have a substitute ready just in case. And the substitute also had to be sequestered. Shema ye'era lo psul. Because there might become a disqualification that would happen to this Kohen Gadol. Maybe he would become a Balkari, maybe he would come into contact with Tumah, and he wouldn't be allowed to do the Avoda, and so they would make sure that the substitute was ready. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Isha Acheres Maskinon Lo, Shema Tamus Ishto. Rabbi Yehuda says they prepared another wife for him as well, because perhaps his wife would die before Yom Kippur, and they would actually require that he marry the second wife before Yom Kippur, because when he's doing the Avoda, he is going to have in mind his bias, Shenemar V'chiper Bado V'ad Beso, because the Pasuk says in Parshas Achrimos, and he shall make atonement, he shall be mechaper for himself and for his household. Beso Zoishto, says the Mishnah. And his bias can't mean a building, so it must mean his household, meaning his wife. And so he would be mechaper for her, so there has to be a wife. And so he would do the avodah that way. Omer lo im kain, the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, if so, ein lo dover sof, then there's no end to it, because what if the second wife could also die? So maybe he needs a third wife. What if the third wife would also die? So we say that despite the fact that death is always a possibility in human life, we are not going to require all kinds of substitute wives just in case something would happen. On the other hand, when it comes to becoming tamei, that is a relatively common occurrence, so we need a substitute kohen ready to do the avoda just in case.